Hey everybody, my name is Isolde Trachtenberg, and this is the Own Your World show. On the show, we'll be exploring how you can take control and own your life.
Hi everybody, welcome to tonight's Own Your Heart. This is the first one of these, and I'm super excited to bring it to you. It's part of my Own Your World series, and it's all about looking at different facets of our lives and seeing how we can just own them, how we can take control, and how we can really thrive and create the lives we want to be living. So tonight, I'm jumping right in. I will tell you, the Own Your Heart segments of this whole thing are probably going to have some overshare, I admit it. Sometimes I'm going to be talking about things that my husband Rich and I have gone through our journey. We've been together 25 years. Thanksgiving will be 26. It's incredible. But tonight I want to talk about something that actually, interestingly, I have almost no experience with. It starts with the question, how do we find love? Some of us get really lucky. We meet the person we fall in love with and they fall in love with us, you know, seventh grade, and we never date anyone else and we are completely happy for the whole of our lives. I actually know people like this and I always want to just sort of rub them for luck. Not that I'm not in love or anything, but you know, there's something about that kind of love that just is incredible. And I've talked to, through my coaching practice and my consulting practice, I've talked to thousands of people, over 13,000 individual consults, which means as many as 17,000 to 18,000 people that I've spoken to. And very few have seen that person from across the room when they were 12 and gone, you're the person I'm going to marry or be with for the rest of my life. But sometimes it happens. Sometimes you do that. A lot of us meet in college when we get thrown in with a whole bunch of different people all at once, right? And you see hundreds, perhaps thousands of people in your time at college. Certainly I had plenty of opportunity to meet people at the University of Michigan. There were 50,000 of them, right? So there was a lot of opportunity. There were a lot of opportunities to meet people and spark. And I did my fair share of sparking. And then, you know, relationships come and go. But that idea of the wide pool to choose from is fabulous during college. And then we have to ask the question, what about after college, right? That becomes a problem because all of a sudden, you're not in as wide a pool anymore. Right? You might move after college, so you might leave all of those people behind, and everybody sort of goes into their separate corners, if you will. And also you start a job, or you're an entrepreneur and you're working, you know, 18 hours a day, et cetera, et cetera. So then what do? Where do you meet the people that could be part of that pool of potential love partners? You might meet them at work. And a lot of places frown on that sort of thing. So you might not meet them at work. Or even if you do meet them, it causes its own set of issues. You might be introduced by friends, right? So friends introduce you, and then just as often as not, that introduction may put the person in the dreaded friend zone, or you in the dreaded friend zone. And we're going to talk about the dreaded friend zone in a minute. So that's another possibility, right? So we're in this position of, sometimes it works when friends go, oh, I think you'd be perfect for each other, and sometimes it doesn't. When I was in my 20s, before I met Rich, my dear friend Susan's mother decided to introduce me to a member of their family. And what she knew about me was that I was a vegetarian who liked cats. And this gentleman was also a vegetarian who liked cats. And so she decided to set us up. She had a dinner, invited us both, and he was a very nice man. And he wasn't going to be somebody that I was going to be romantic about. And so that didn't work. But it was a really, you know, sweet gesture on her part to think about it. And she went for the things that she thought, oh, Isolde loves this, so I'm going to do that. So then it's interesting to me that I ended up with a vegetarian who likes cats, but Rich has other qualities that made him more of a match for me. And that's the thing. Sometimes, despite everybody's best intentions and efforts, if that spark isn't there that's going to lead to romance and eventually love, then that's that. And you hope that, you know, as few people as possible get hurt in the moment. So now what do? Where do we go? We could do singles groups. We do speed dating, meetups, things like that. That's possible. Certainly with the internet, all things are possible, and you can find people in that way. And then, of course, there's online dating. And in my research for this, I found there are a lot more than I thought there were. There's certainly hookup sites where you can get together for things that are not romantic, but just like one night stands. And that works great if that's what you're into. There are also sites that are designed for certain groups of people. Two that come to mind, Senior People Meet and Our Time, are really only for people who are over 50. Okay, so that's, you need to be over 50 in order to participate in those. Match.com is known pretty well for its We Have Successful Matches. Who else? Elite Singles are for people who are in their 30s or above and who are college educated and have a certain socioeconomic status. OkCupid, Bumble, Coffee Meets Bagel, eHarmony, Tinder, even Snapchat. There are ways that people are hooking up, meeting up, and deciding very quickly about whether or not they are with someone they want to pursue something with. And that's the question for me that I'm thinking about as far as finding love. If we're going to risk our hearts, because let's face it, every time we answer an ad or we put up an ad or we, you know, set up a profile in one of these things, even Facebook, when it says, you know, in a relationship with or not, or looking to meet men, women, you know, that's what they're trying to find out. Are you interested in meeting people? Are you interested in having that sort of thing going on your Facebook page or, you know, through Instagram? Certainly there are a lot of propositions and proposals on Instagram and things like that. Whether or not the person wants them, they're there. But there are certainly sites that are dedicated to this sort of thing. So then you have to ask yourself, when you are using one of these, is it all too quick? Do you make the decisions when you're flipping through, you know, swipe left, swipe right on Tinder? It's based on what the person looks like, I would guess, because I've never seen Tinder, but I think there's nothing there except for the person's picture and maybe a little bit of information. But otherwise, it's look and decide and boom, and then you move on. And some of the other online that aren't designed for hookups, but online sites that are designed to sort of facilitate more long-term relationships are looking at your profile, your likes, your dislikes, your behaviors, the things you like to do for fun, some of your history, et cetera, et cetera. But then also, again, you put up a picture that, and I know people who have used online sites who say, yeah, the person had a picture that was 25 years old. And so it's sort of the way you wish you still looked because you want to make your best impression. And the question becomes, why do you want to make your best impression? Well, you want to make your best impression because you're hoping that people who you would want to meet will want to meet you, right? The psychology behind that is very interesting because you want to have first right of refusal. So you put your best foot forward. And that means that if they swipe whichever way, right, I guess, if they do that, that means they want to meet you, regardless of anything else. Some of these sites will ask for, do you want to meet up? Coffee Meets Bagel, I think, is that, and It's Just Lunch is another one. Do you want to meet the person? Well, we decide based on the picture and the profile, and are we doing that too quickly? Because the judgment is quick. Oh, this person, I like the look of them, and or I don't like the look of them. And, you know, I've had people say to me, yeah, that's the whole point, is you want to see whether or not you'd want to have sex with the person, and it's immediate. The thing is, do you get time to find out whether or not you'd want to be involved with the person? Sex is one thing. Sex is obviously an important part of any relationship, unless you are asexual in some way, and in which case it may not be an important part of your relationship. However, for the majority of people, I believe, who are using these sites, sex is a driving force, if you will. And so is it okay to make those judgments that quickly? Because here you are, you're supposed to be looking for a long-term relationship. You see someone, you go, I could see myself having sex with this person or being romantically involved with this person. But what about I could feel it, or I could sense it in other ways besides the visual? And it's an important part of it, because I think what's being lost, what we're missing, is the idea of the friend zone. And we think of the friend zone as something that's, you know, the dreaded friend zone, which means that instead of being relegated to being a potential partner, you are relegated to being a friend. And personally, I like the friend zone. I prefer the friend zone before being relegated to romance, because I want to know who this person is. And I think the same thing holds true for the other way around. You know, in online sites, it's hard to know whether or not you would get along with this person. You read their profile, and again, they've put their best foot forward, which is awesome. But do you know anything about them? Do you know who they are? Do you know how they react in emergency situations? Do you know whether or not they're good in a crisis? Do you know what their favorite book really is? Do you know what they look like when they are just waking up in the morning before they make their morning coffee? And I guess if you were to spend the night, you'd probably know that from having spent the night with them. But you get my point. These are all things that you can learn about someone if you're friends first. And I'm not saying don't hook up. That I'm not, there's no judgment here. That's not the point of what I'm trying to say or do here at all. I'm just wondering about the speed with which people decide whether or not someone is a person they would want to be involved with. It's frightening to me, because it goes super fast, and I think we miss out on quality people because we never give them a chance, because we make those decisions about our hearts and what they could actually ultimately want before we ever even meet them. And I'm not saying you have to meet every single person who swipes right or who, you know, pings you on Match.com or OkCupid or whatever. Obviously you don't. You have to be discerning. And yet I feel like sometimes that discernment takes a back seat to finding out who the people are. And so I think we're risking our hearts a little bit. We're risking how we determine love, how we figure out whether or not love is even a possibility. And that's the thing I'm wondering is, can our hearts actually handle that? Can they handle the speed with which some of this stuff happens? And if they can, awesome. If we're evolving into that, terrific. But if we're not, and if we find ourselves feeling hurt because something we thought could go somewhere ends up not going anywhere because of the online profile mismatch or not swiping right or not swiping left, I think a lot of drama occurs and a lot of trauma occurs around this, because I think while technology has evolved really quickly, I'm not sure our feelings have. I'm not sure the way we find love, experience love, and feel love has evolved as quickly. And so it makes me wonder, what else can we do? How else can we get to that place where we can get to know each other at least a little before we risk our hearts? I'm going to be delving a lot more into some of these topics over the coming weeks and months. I'm also launching, or have launched, a podcast. You will see, or actually you will hear, since it's a podcast, this on the Own Your World podcast. I hope that you've enjoyed this episode, this very first episode of Own Your Heart. If you find that you want to know more, or if you have other topics you'd like me to talk about, drop me a line and let me know. You can comment here, or you can tweet me at Isolde T. I'm going to have experts coming in where I'm going to get to interview fabulous people, therapists and people involved in the industry, to talk more about this, because I think it's important to address, and I think it's important to delve into a little bit more in depth to find out whether or not, with the speed of the evolution of technology, are we missing something because our hearts haven't evolved as quickly. I hope that you have a wonderful rest of the week. I thank you for watching, and I'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for joining us today, everybody. I hope you had as terrific a time as I did. Until next time, keep looking for opportunities to own your world.